B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. This is the three-pointer with Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic, home of 76ers basketball.
And Devon is brought to us, as always, by our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sportsbook app. They took some of my money last night, and I thought that was quite rude of them.
Yeah, a lot of people were a little sour here today on our gambling adventures, but I'm sure Devon was not one of them. Devon, you got some good three-pointers for us today, my brother?
I believe so. I'll start with some energy from John Collins yesterday, which I thought really stood out specifically in the second half. While he had five offensive rebounds, three of those came late in the game where the Atlanta Hawks were surging their way back and eventually took that lead at one point by one, of course, over the 76ers. And one that really stood out as we talk about the three-pointer happened late in the game as the 76ers, Furkan Korkmaz, had knocked down the three-pointer to make it 98-94, 2:44 on the game clock in regulation. And it was huge. It was a big one right there. And the Sixers did very well defensively on the other end, forcing Bogdanovich into a tough pull-up shot right around 17 feet. And John Collins got an offensive rebound. As a result, Trae Young, with one of his many assists last night, then found John Collins in the corner where the Sixers were scrambling defensively, could not figure out who to get out to try to close out and defend that shot. I believe eventually it was Harris or Simmons, and he knocked down that shot. And right there to make it 98-97, that was a prime opportunity for the Sixers to get the ball, slow things down, get a quality possession after having a good defensive possession since Korkmaz gave you a four-point advantage. I thought that one, guys, really hurt the Sixers late in the game.
Did it surprise you that the energy level wasn't a little bit higher, as you alluded to?
Yeah, because yes and no, only because the way that they had went up by 18 early on in the game, had they sustained that and kept that type of momentum going the entire night, I believe that that would have been there. But when Atlanta would not go away, and that was more so of the Sixers not closing them out and putting them away than what Atlanta did to stay in it, I thought that with that momentum, Bob, you know how it is when you're on the floor and you're in that moment. Now you start to get tight and the energy is already there from the other side. Yours is really just zapped out of you and you are just hoping that things wind down. The clock is starting to dwindle and walk away with the victory, wiping your brow saying, man, we stole one. So yes and no when it comes to that energy.
Give me your second point, Devon, about last night's devastating loss.
Yeah, last night, as we all know, Joel Embiid had an opportunity to really give the 76ers a bucket there where he missed that layup opportunity late in the game where the score was 101-100. He missed the cutting layup with about 8 seconds to go. I thought he had taken, and we all know he's dealing with the injury and all. He even talked about it last night. Didn't really want to hear it, but it was what it was. He should have taken a power dribble. He caught it where he caught it and decided to just lean in a la Pat Ewing years ago when he missed that infamous layup against the Chicago Bulls. But it had Embiid taken the power dribble, in my opinion, just watching it and seeing it replayed over and over last night, I thought he would have had a better opportunity of not only making the basket, but also making the basket and getting fouled and also converting the free throw, which would have given them a two-point advantage at that time. So I thought he kind of bailed the team out at Atlanta. He let them off the hook by panicking, going too fast instead of staying composed, taking a power dribble, and then whether it's a dunk exploding there, a layup closer to the basket, and or getting fouled. And even if he didn't make the basket, two free throws, I'm trusting him to at least make one of two.
Is that the biggest flaw in his game right now, Devon? Joel Embiid, is his power game, isn't it? And is it something that he can improve upon?
He can definitely improve upon it, and it could be a flaw because, yeah, I think he's so good finesse-wise that he leans on that so often and it works, so how can we be upset about it? But in situations like this and others, there are times where we do see the power game can help him out, where he can just flat-out bully him. I thought it was disrespectful last night. I hope he takes this into Wednesday night's game afterwards where Clint Capella points out that he was fatigued, and when he gets fatigued, you can really do what you want to do against him, so... And that's on him. That's on him. And I hope he comes out and he shows that against Capella where we'll see one of those 40-point nights for Embiid against that defense.
All right, what's your third one before we talk a little bit more about this bad loss?
Our favorite player, and look, 17 minutes in the second half, so 7 minutes off the floor, and you only take one shot. It was really about the quote at the end that really took me over the top last night, stating that he should have been more aggressive. I don't want to hear that after the fact. I want to hear that and see it in the moment as you see your team struggling and begging for you to do something, where you aggressively in the third quarter in game number three decide to take over because you saw that that was what your team needed. Your team needed it badly last night, and you decided not to do it. You took one shot. And I'm speaking, of course, of Ben Simmons, who we all get on, and Bob, you and I are supporters, Jamie and Pat as well. And last night, I thought that he, again, let Atlanta off the hook. And sure, you can point at Doc Rivers for things that he didn't help him out with, but that's also the mentality of a player where you're in a big spot, big moment, give me the ball, and I'll do what I need to do to help us and guide this to a win. Sure, I'm sure frustrated about the free throws and the concern. You can see it in his face when he walks to the free throw line. Even when he's standing there trying to get his feet together, he's kind of patting his feet, making sure they're properly set on the free throw line. He needed to do much better. And last night afterwards, he did not need to tell us that he needed to be more aggressive. We saw it.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, Devon, that's kind of my, as I digest the game still this morning, the thing that's making me angrier and angrier as the morning goes on here is, to me, Joel Embiid's body language screamed, can somebody bail me out? I don't have it tonight. And for Tobias and Ben to have a combined 2 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter, in your opinion, like, what role does Doc Rivers have in that? And what, you know, how much of the blame goes to Tobias and Ben there for just not taking the ball and saying, get the hell out of my way?
I would honestly, Jay, say it's more on the players than it is the coach. The coach can yell at them all he wants in the huddle and saying, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. But they also have to recognize it. And we've seen Tobias do that, uplift the team, especially when Embiid doesn't have it. Simmons, when he talked about he felt disrespected that they put Gobert on him as a defender, and he decided to go out there and have his career night with 42 points in that road loss against the Utah Jazz. You see the same type of moment there. These are veteran players that recognize the moment. The playoffs are not foreign to them anymore at this time. They know what the difference is, and the difference was right there in their faces. And they decided not to step up in that moment. So we can point at Korkmaz and Milton and not having it and not delivering in that moment. That wasn't their spot. The spot was the other two star players who have performed well throughout this playoff so far, yeah, this postseason. But in that moment where you can bail your best player out who simply did not have it, as we saw and we all recognized it, we recognized it. They had to recognize it in the moment right next to him.
Like Devon,
and that was the problem.
You know, you've been watching every Sun game, and rightfully so. If Devin Booker doesn't have it, he's got Chris Paul or your cousin to bail him out. Every other team in the league has that guy when their guy doesn't have it to bail them out. And the Sixers had no answer for their guy not having it last night. And it's jumping out in neon to me. I don't think it's something that's going to predict the rest of the playoffs, but man, that was pretty concerning last night.
Yeah, it was. Now, I do believe that they are able to bounce back in Wednesday night's game back here in Philadelphia. If they don't, shame on them. But you're right. It was something that really stood out that's going to give us a talking point leading into Wednesday night's game that shouldn't have been. This should be a conversation of, hey, they didn't do it. They didn't do it the way we wanted it to get done, but they figured it out at the very end. Another, as we'd like to talk about, checkmark, something to, you know, a benchmark that they have reached as they're now elevating to that championship contender, and things that you have to overcome to win. And still, they have plenty. This is a three-game series, and they have two at home, so it could still happen that way. But I also would have liked to have seen it happen the way the game played out when your best player wasn't at his best and your other two star players to really uplift the team and get them back here to Philadelphia with an opportunity to close things out Wednesday night in Game 5.
Devon, we talked last night on the pregame show about who we would start, and you and I both said George Hill. Sure. For a couple of reasons. Try to get him out of a funk. You still have a threat at the three-point line. Doc Rivers decided to go with Furkan Korkmaz, which was a popular decision in a lot of people's eyes. Do you think that gets changed for Game 5, or do you think he'll stick with that?
I think he'll stick with what he has, with Korkmaz being your other wing player. I do. And maybe that is even because Furkan Korkmaz does seem to play better in front of the home crowd. So I don't think Doc Rivers will change things. I don't think he'll look at that as a panic move. If anything, Bob, as we know, maybe he'll just have a quick trigger when it comes to the substitution and getting him out and inserting Hill, Milton, or Maxey in his place. But I think he'll stick with Korkmaz for Game 5.
Barring any injury update with Joel Embiid, is there anything long-term that concerned you about last night, or is it more of an outlier?
More of an outlier, if anything. I think the concerns that we've already had when we speak about Simmons or even questioning Harris, is he built for the type of role that we're asking of him as that secondary scorer for this team? Those things were already there. So it's more of, can you take us out of that thinking more so than just simply adding to it like they did last night? It's adding to it, but we already knew it was there. Now we're just looking more for them to, once again, make those plays that make us remember these things as positives instead of negatives as we look back on this season and this series.
Well, I appreciate you on the three-pointers, Devon. Love always having you the day after games, and I love doing pregame with you before every Sixers playoff game. And tomorrow night, there's a rumor that you and I could be down at the Wells Fargo Center for our pregame show.
So it's home, but hopefully we perform way better on the road than they did last night.
That's right. Devon, thanks so much. Much appreciated. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. All right,
see you, Devon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.